Well, I'll give this another try. Like I said, I spent most of my childhood days with my grandmother, whom I adored. In 1927, one day she said, "We're gonna go down here a few miles below Rampart and put our fishnet in and get some king salmon." So that's what we did with the help of my uncle. He put up the tent and Yukon stove and fixed things a little comfortable for us. And so just Grandma, her single shot 22, and me. As long as I was with her, I had no fear. She said, "If you hear a noise, think. Maybe the wind is blowing and rubbing against something." While there was a person drifting down the river. Each summer we had a few men all alone just drifting. I suppose they went to the mouth of the Yukon River to catch the ship back to wherever they came from. Grandma was in the tent, called, and she called him, "Who was in the boat?" I said, "Oh, just a drifter," which we called him. I was thinking, I know where he came from. Perhaps Dawson or White Horse, maybe outside. Then I called to Grandma. While saying that, I was thinking, golly, where did we come from? So I said to her, "Where did we come from?" While I was walking in the tent. And the tent was so cozy, the smell of fresh, the spruce boughs on the floor, and the mosquito nets was up. She had a fire in the Yukon stove, making tea for herself. I was given a weak cup of tea to have with Jersey cream crackers. We got settled. When someone is going to tell you history, we get comfortable and not interrupt. We were taught that because we must remember everything this person speaking of, because of later you are to repeat the story back to this person, and it must be correct. That was the only way they kept their history alive. She said, as far back as the Indians knew, they were at the mouth of the Yukon River. Where they came from was not known. They lived there many, many years. And finally, groups started to migrate up the Yukon River. As they were traveling, some would find a small river they liked, so they'd settle there. My ancestors chose to go up the Kaikuk River. This took many, many years. They didn't have dogs, so they walked, or they traveled in birch bark canoes. afternoon. After it was terribly hard for them. Many people starved. Can you imagine trying to get a moose or any animal to eat with only a bow and arrow or a snare made out of moose skin, rocks for axe and knives, or made of bones? All the Indians, Eskimo in those days, were the most intelligent people on the face of the world, surviving in the better cold temperature, at times with hardly any food. Okay, now back to the fish camp. We stayed there for the month of July, I believe it was, and then moved back to the village of Rampart. And that's when again some floaters came down the river, and now of course we kids have to meet every boat that came down. There were two men, and they had these big old-fashioned cameras, and as the kids said, ask them if they take our picture. And I did, and they said no, they just want the elders. And that was to try to identify the true Athabascans by bone structures that they would measure from the knee to the ankle and the jaw bones. And well, we didn't pay any attention to them. They didn't want to take our pictures, so we left. And but later on, when they were at the grandma's place, and I don't know if anybody else participated in this picture taking, but I've had this picture for many, many years, and then, excuse me. Then in the 60s, we were up here at, In the 60s, a group of us and the linguistics and had a program going at the university to write and read the Athabascan language. And what wonderful times that was. The people that we worked with us were so intelligent, and they knew the old time living and the words. So we did Athabascan, a dictionary in Athabascan language, a simple little one to teach at school. And that's where the linguistic said one day, I wonder where the Athabascan came from. And I said I knew, the linguistics follow the dialect. And I said, well, I know where they came from, and I repeated what Grandma had said. And they still wasn't sure. And after our lunchtime, Dr. Krauss brought in the video, and it showed, it was called The First Americans. And it showed, it started from in Siberia, where they were digging in this cave and found all the bones and the skeleton of an Athabascan person. And the tools was very important too. And then what I already had said in the past, they made a make-believe bridge from Siberia to Alaska, and had these little figures of people crossing this bridge. And it tied in very well with what Grandma had said, that they were at the mouth of the Yukon River. And let me see. Anyway, the linguistics came and apologized, and well, I said, you never want to doubt an older person telling history, because they were very, very fussy about telling exactly the way it was. Okay, now I go back to this past year in November at our DAR meeting, that's the Daughters of American Revolution, and I was a guest speaker, and it took me a while before I could think of something to talk about. It had to be of Indians, and I brought this up that Grandma had told me, and about Dr. Krauss showing that video, and the group, the members, was so fascinated with the story that they wanted to know if we could borrow or see the video again. So, at that time, I couldn't remember the name of the video. I didn't know who to go to, but I thought of Bill Snyder at the university. And so we got together, and I took the picture that was taken of Grandma and Rampart in 1927. And right now we're doing research to find out who took the picture. But as I so worried right there now,